Welcome to Public Safety Talk Radio, the podcast for all of our heroes in public safety, including law enforcement professionals, firefighters, EMTs, corrections officers, healthcare workers, and more. This show is produced by the POCUA and is founded upon its Soundness Initiative.
This episode is sponsored by Police Mortgage. Police Mortgage is a full-service mortgage company dedicated to serving police officers and first responders. Founded in 2008, Police Mortgage offers a variety of mortgage products tailored to meet the needs of those who serve and protect. Police Mortgage, for first responders who are second to none.
I am Ken Bader, your host for Public Safety Talk Radio, and welcome to the new season, and we are kicking off with an awesome guest. I know I say we always have an awesome guest, but you know, I had a chance to talk to this gentleman a few weeks ago. Didn't get to see him at the SHOT Show because he left earlier than I did, but damn it, I wanted to get him on the show because he has a lot of good things to talk about. His name is Michael Julian. He's a security expert, he's a professional speaker, and he is an author. He's author of 10 Minutes to Live. Wow, I wish I had more than 10 minutes. 10 Minutes to Live, Surviving Active Shooters, Using Alive, and Alive stands for something. He's the creator of Alive. We're going to hear all about it from Mike. Mike, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Ken. Great to be here with you.
Great to have you. You know, and for those of you that are seeing the video version of this, you know, you can see that Michael and his family, with his son behind there and his collection from his dad, is, you know, definitely well decorated and somebody that, you know, we really need to talk to. But I think the first and obvious question is, what does ALIVE stand for and why did you create it?
ALIVE is an acronym that stands for Assess, Leave, Impede, Violence, and Expose. And it is the steps you should take in the face of violence, not just an active shooter, but in the face of potential violence to help you navigate and survive it. It is based on, like every other, pretty much every other program like mine, based on Run, Hide, Fight, because the premise is good. The presentation was not great when they first came out with it, but we've improved that. We call it Run, Hide, Fight 2.0. And I created it back in 2013 because I was frankly, and very selfish reasons, I was frankly really sick of seeing good people die at the hands of bad people.
Sure.
Because they did the wrong thing or nothing at all. And I was brought up by a military and law enforcement veteran who pounded situational awareness and proactivity and taking action and never surrender or retreat if it means your life. So, you know, it just made me, it angered me. It frustrated me watching the videos of these people doing the wrong thing or absolutely nothing, when the right thing, the choice of doing the right thing or something better was so obvious if you just changed your mindset a little.
Mm-hmm.
So I set out to change minds and change lives and empower people to survive situations of violence because it's kind of a simple shift really in your thinking, in your mindset. It's an easy change if you know how to do it. But if you don't, then it's difficult. So that was my plan to make me feel better.
Do you feel better, Michael?
In 2017, late in the year, I was contacted by a woman named Liz Moreno, who had been in my class, hired by her employer to teach her and her coworkers 2.5 years earlier my program. And on October 1st in 2017, when she was at the Route 91 Music Festival in Las Vegas, watching Jason Aldean perform and Stephen Paddock open fire, killing 58 people, she was one of the people in the field that ended up littered with dead bodies that remembered her training and took action, followed her training, and survived. Mm-hmm. So yes, I would say it has worked out very well for me. I feel a whole lot better, but we've got billions of minds to change.
Sure.
And people to teach. So yeah, I'm not there yet, but we're working on it.
Sure. Sure. No, and that's a great story and testament, you know, on a much, much smaller scale. You know, I say that Public Safety Talk Radio and some of the things that we talk about and the guests that we have on, if we one person listens to it or watches it and it helps them, then it's been worth doing. So the fact that you, in essence, saved one life during that tragedy in Las Vegas, which is what it sounds like, that makes it worth doing everything. I think one of the questions, you know, is I'm interested in, as you talk to that individual, what was the one or a couple things that she remembers from your training that helped her on that day?
Well, two things. One, she said when the shooting started, everyone thought it was firecrackers, but they were getting agitated, not knowing for sure. And she turned around and saw a woman shot in the face and a man shot in the chest right behind her. And she realized, oh, darn, this is real. Mm-hmm. Her and her boyfriend hit the ground like a bunch of the other people in that field. And she said she covered her head with her hands and her arms. And at that point, all of a sudden, she remembered, wait a minute, I've had training. I know what to do. And she said at that point, she became completely calm. She turned to her boyfriend and said, we've got to go. We have to get out of here. And he said, no, we'll be safer sheltering in place, which mm-hmm. is one of those key phrases that we're taught, like lockdown and shelter in place, that are supposed to be the broad brush cookie cutter solution.
Sure.
But it doesn't work that way, because active shooter events and violent events are fluid and ever changing. And there is no cookie cutter way to apply, no training to apply. And she said, look, I know what to do. And when the shooting stops, I'm leaving with or without you. And he said, well, okay. So Stephen Paddock stopped to either reload or switch guns. And they got up and grabbed hands and took off running. Mm-hmm. And he started shooting again and they took cover. And he stopped and they took off running. And I've got a picture that I show in some of my presentations of that field right where she was in front of the stage, littered with dead bodies. So the fact that she went, wait a minute, I've got training, and then became calm, because mm-hmm. it changed everything at that point. She went, holy, okay, I don't have to be a victim. I don't mm-hmm. have to lose hope. I do know what to do. I do have a plan, and I am empowered with the knowledge to carry out that plan. That kept her calm, and then she followed her training. So that was huge. Those two things are, you know, and she flat out told me, looked me in the eye and said, I believe your course, your training saved my life.
Sure.
And I always joke about this in my presentations. I have never done heroin, but I understand it's very addictive. Well, when someone looks you in the eye and says, I believe I'm on this earth today because of something you did, that is addictive. And I want not just myself, but I want all of my, I've trained over 250 people mm-hmm. around the world to teach this class. I want them to have a story like that, because it's life-changing. It gives you a new sense of purpose.
Yeah. And not only that, but, you know, unlike heroin, you don't have to heat up any spoons or use needles or any of that crap.
Right? It's way easier. You just have to get shot at.
Yeah, much, much more rewarding. So you probably already answered this in that true life example. But let's dig into it a little bit more, because you talked about, you know, the run, hide, so on and so forth. And I've heard that as well. Yeah. You know, how is your training different than a lot of other active shooter training out there?
There's a few. The most important one is my program, more than any that I have ever seen. And I look at everyone I can find to compare. Mm-hmm. My program starts and has throughout it the psychological, the mindset, the mentality, the brain part of it. Because running, hiding, and fighting is a physical function. Mm-hmm. It's a physical task. If your brain is so traumatized by what is happening that it shuts down and it stops sending those signals to your hands and feet to run, hide, fight, it won't do you any damn good at all. Mm. So we've got to prepare the brain by changing the mindset and changing the reactivity of the brain and the brain signals, so that when this happens, you do exactly what Liz Moreno said. And that is you immediately become calm and you respond rationally, not emotionally. Because if you've ever been in a fight or a disagreement with a wife or husband, and they say something that they know is going to get your goat, and it's maybe a little below the belt, and it's going to get a horrific reaction, mm-hmm. and you respond the way that they want, which is emotionally, it's all going to go to hell.
Right.
But if they do that and you take a deep breath, which we teach in the assess process, and you lock it down and you don't react, and then you react, you respond rationally and logically and thoughtfully, the way that event or interaction goes from that point forward will be dramatically different. It will de-escalate rather than escalate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great points there. In, you know, I'll give you some examples of some things that I learned from experts like you over the years. I've never been a first responder, but I've had the privilege of working with a lot of police officers, law enforcement, training experts, and so forth. And I kind of pick up some tips here and there. And fortunately, I have never been in an active shooter situation, and hope, you know, knock wood, that neither I or my wife will be in that situation. But I've been in lesser dangerous situations where my first reaction, maybe it's because of my temper, is I get pissed off. Which go ahead.
You're a sheepdog.
Yeah.
If you were a sheep, you would become frightened. You would become paralyzed. You would be looking for other people to help you. You're a sheepdog. You get pissed off and say, no, not today. That ain't happening. I'm not letting you get that over on me or my loved ones or other people that don't deserve it.
Yeah. And the minor instances we had, you know, a drunk that broke into our back porch and everything, and my wife was scared, and I just got pissed. I said, call the police. You know, I've got the firearm. The doors are locked. You know, nobody's getting in here, you know, without me knowing about it. She actually commented on how much she appreciated my response. But in the same vein, being completely pissed isn't always the best thing either.
That is an emotional reaction, and you can still not be thinking correctly.
Right. Right. And one of the pieces of advice that I obtained from another expert, and I want to get your take on this, who does a lot of self-defense training. I asked him, and I can't remember his name offhand. I would give him credit for it if I did. But I said, what's your best tip? And he says, you know, I thought, you know, it's like, he's going to say, hey, you know, hit him upside the head or do something. And his best tip was to remember to choose safety. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And his point was, is that, you know, every situation is different. You know, for some, safety may just simply be to cross the street. For others, if you have an active shooter situation and he's 5 feet away from you, safety may be to fight. That may be your best, safest option to get out of that. And I remembered that, you know, a few weeks ago, there was a car that stopped in front of me in a parking lot and, you know, decided to, you know, let people out. And me being of a high temper thought about, okay, I'm going to beep the horn. I'm going to yell at these, you know, 320 something, you know, year old, you know, men. And right before I was going to beep and yell, I thought, all right, I thought about choose safety. It's like, all right, yeah, I've got a weapon in the car, but do I really want to take on three guys that are probably 30 years younger than me that could wreck the car, wreck me? Do I really want to be in that situation? So yeah. I sat with a look and waited for them to end or to unload, and then they drove off and everything. And I thought, you know, that was probably the best choice at that time. So, you know, I to finish my ramble, yeah, does that tie into some of the things that you're teaching, is that every situation is different and that calmness helps you to think about the best solution at the time?
Yes, 100%. You're thinking rationally. You're not reacting. You're responding, which, you know, reactions, I think, can typically be tied by definition, not always, obviously, but to an emotional response, and responding, for whatever reason, at least in my dictionary, responding comes with a sense of thoughtfully making a decision on how to move forward and then doing so. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe people have different definitions, but that's what I think of. So, yeah, but you've got to respond. Even if you react, it's got to be done rationally and, you know, cognitively. You're thinking in terms of safety. You're thinking in terms of the right way to do that instead of just a gut reaction that comes from your ego, typically, that can get you in trouble. And it's happened to me many times. My ego and my mouth have got me into situations I really wish I had not been in. Yeah. And then by the time you calm down, now you're dealing with the aftermath. But a couple more points on my program and how it's different. It is set up so that the acronym is chronological. There are other acronyms out there that don't give the steps chronologically, but I want people to consider the steps, the letters, in order, so that you do the one that's best for you first. And that is, the L is to leave, and just like run. I don't like run. That's what we do when the boogeyman's chasing us. Leaving is empowering. Leaving is making a conscious decision, calmly or not, to get off the X, to get out of there. And then also impeding. I don't like hide, because hide's what we do when the boogeyman's after us. That's defensive and defeating. And impeding is moving forward, taking action, being empowered, keeping them away from you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then violence. I like violence because it just like the color red, the word invokes. Now is the time, if you're going to react or respond with emotion, now is the time to do it. And I tell people, if you are going to get to the point of violence, then rage is your friend. And I want you to rip that person from limb to limb. Mm-hmm. At least have that look in your eyes, so maybe it scares them to the point where they drop the gun and turn around and run away, which could possibly happen with people like this. I don't know. But yeah. So, and I also like the fact that my acronym stands for exactly what we're trying to teach people, how to stay alive.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk a lot about situational awareness, and, you know, granted, I've not been in a lot of terrible situations like I'm sure other people and some of the folks that are watching and listening have, but yeah, I'm always thinking about what's around me, and I'm always thinking about, you know, okay, if there is somebody that looks to be a little mentally unstable, you know, I don't necessarily look them in the eyes, but I'm there with intent, you know, that I'm very aware of the situation and make sure that the people around me know that I'm aware of the situation. And as many police officers have told me, 9 times out of 10, somebody that is thinking of doing you harm in some particular way, when they know that you're aware, will back off, because they've now lost the luxury of surprise. Yeah.
Yes. And surprise is a wonderful tool when we have it on our side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. Well, let's go to the book. Yeah. I'm interested to hear about the book, 10 Minutes to Live, Surviving an Active Shooter Using Alive. You know, did the book, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the book come first and then the training, or did the training come first and then you wrote the book to be kind of a companion to
great,
that?
Great question. So I created the course. I started thinking about it in 2013 and taking other classes, to other people's classes to teach. I was going to teach other class, you know, other people's programs.
Sure.
And then when I realized that I did not fully get on board 100% with any of their programs, I basically decided to create my own and take the best of everything that I learned and that I believed. And that's when I created Alive. So 2014, it was launched. 2017, my book. Well, here's the one with the tabs that I used to teach my instructor
there
course.
You go.
This was the first version that came out. So the first version came out in 2017, and the book is my program with some other stuff, stories and anecdotes and so forth. So I call this basically the textbook for life, and I also refer to it as a survival guide, because if you read the book, you're going to get the same stuff out of it, maybe more than if you take the online class or the in-person training. That was 2017. That was published in 2017. 2019 is when I created the instructor certification course. So I've now got, I've taught more than 250 people to teach my course around the world. I think we got seven countries where we have instructors, and there's more coming online all the time. We have that course every month. 2019, let's see. It was translated into Spanish, and then the hardcover just became available. The online course. Then I launched the online course in 2018. So there's an e-learning course. If you can't read the book or make it to an in-person, you can go online and take the whole program right there.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like in the perfect world, you do the in-person training, you do the online course, and you read the book, and you get all of the knowledge. But if you could only do one, what would it be?
Well, the nice thing about the book is you can go back and reread it to reinforce what you've learned. And there's some stories and statistics in the back and stuff. So I would say, obviously, money doesn't matter that much to me, because I'm going to take the cheapest thing that I have, and it's only $20. But I would say the book is real. Oh, it's on audiobook now too.
Nice.
On Amazon or Audible or whatever. Gosh, that's a good. It depends on the person and the personality and the brain, the way it absorbs information. Because when I do a 2-hour in-person, or somebody else does, the 2-hour in-person has a lot of information. It's got case studies. It's got videos. It's pretty powerful. And then we have a module B that we teach at the location, whether it's a school, house of worship, employer, whatever, where we actually walk through, not in real time. We don't use, we don't use simunitions. We don't do anything dramatic. I don't believe that people need to touch a fire and burn their finger to learn that it's hot and you should avoid that. And there's a lot of bad things that have come of that. So I don't get involved in that, but, if you had to choose one, it depends on the person and how they absorb information. The online program, a lot of people like that. You can also go back through that several times, and there's videos on that and so forth. So it depends on the human.
Yeah, that is an excellent answer, and I agree with it 100%. In over 20 some years of doing training, not your type of training, but training, you see some people, can't learn in a classroom, but can easily read a book 2-3 times and absorb everything. Other people just don't have the wherewithal to sit down and absorb a book, but can listen to an audio once or maybe twice or 3 times in the car or otherwise and really absorb it. Others need to be in a classroom environment with the training and so forth. So you're exactly right. It really depends on the person. So speaking of training, and since it is Public Safety Talk Radio, and one of the things that I say over and over again is I'm a staunch supporter of law enforcement, not a blind supporter of law enforcement. And you've seen some of these active shooter situations out there, one not too long ago in Nashville, where it seemed to me, as a civilian that supports law enforcement, seems like they did an excellent job of saving lives in Nashville. And then you look at Uvalde, as a civilian, you look at it and go, maybe not so much. So I think the question there is, what can law enforcement and police officers learn from your training to help save lives out there?
That is a great question. Thank you for that. And by the way, I agree with all the things you just said. And I met one of the two cops that shot the assailant in Nashville at the SHOT Show. Great guy. We're going to probably collaborate on some things.
Awesome.
Let me say this. First of all, I did probably one of the most nerve-wracking presentations I ever did was in Orlando at a conference. It was a private investigator conference, which I've been a PI for 35 years. So heavily involved in that world as well. And it was a PI conference. So 90% of the guys in there and gals were former law enforcement, and many of them were current law enforcement. And I thought, man, this is fairly early on. I thought, man, these guys are going to judge me harshly because I'm a civilian and I'm teaching active shooter response and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Probably the best crowd I ever had. And everybody came up to me afterwards and said, thank God somebody is teaching the right way to think and act in situations and not just expect that we're going to show up with an S on our chest and a cape and be able to save them, because we don't know where we're going to be. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be time before we get there, and you need to take care of yourselves until we can take care of you.
Right.
So that was really, really neat. I've had many, many law enforcement and military, but mostly law enforcement people tell me that they had never thought about civilian response. They've only been taught tactical response. They said now they understand the best way for civilians to think and act during these situations so they can work together as a team. Because the E at the end of alive is, expose your position carefully. Mm-hmm. And I say for two reasons. It may not be over. Just because the shooting stopped doesn't mean that the shooter's down. And there may be additional shooters. Exactly. So if you are acting, you've got to act with the thought that there may still be danger. But let's not forget the fact that if you come running around a corner with something in your hand and law enforcement, let's say some rookie greenhorn, right, fresh out of the academy, is the first responder and law enforcement is taught you must engage immediately, which I agree with 100%,
right,
which is how Uvalde failed, which is how Nashville succeeded. You've got to engage. Well, if that new guy is the first guy there and he's going in and he's already ready, a little bit fidgety, he could accidentally pull the trigger. Sure. Also, armed civilians have been shot during an active shooter because they had their weapon. So you've got to be very, very careful. So the law enforcement guys that I've talked to are like, this is great. If everybody knows this, then they're going to understand. And I teach them, if you're leaving and you encounter law enforcement, don't run up and put your arms around them and say, thank you for saving me. You exit with your hands up and you ready to answer questions in very short bites and then follow direction. Okay. They want to know three things. Where's the shooter? What kind of firepower do they have? And what do they look like so they can be recognized when they're seen? Mm. Give them that and move on. So the cops love my program.
Yeah. Yeah. The time to hug them is like a few days later when you see them on the news or for some kind of show, not on the day of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent education. I'm learning a lot just in our time together. It's probably sophomoric for me to ask you this question to try and boil all of your expertise into maybe one or two tips, but for somebody out there that may not have gotten to the book yet, may not have had the privilege of being in your training or taking the online course, but is listening or watching this video and unfortunately winds up not too long afterwards in an active shooting situation, what is the one, maybe two tips that you want people to remember?
Sure. Very simply. Absolutely, under no circumstances should you ever lose hope and fall into a victim mentality. Mm-hmm. React rationally, not emotionally, unless it's time to fight, and then lose your mind and become a berserker and make sure that person never hurts at anyone ever again. Use common sense. Mm-hmm. And know that you can affect the outcome of this. You are not helpless. You are not hopeless. If you keep your shit together, excuse my language, and take action, there's your chances of survival are dramatically greater. Mm-hmm. If you freeze, if you become paralyzed with fear, and you lose hope, your chances of dying are exponentially greater because you're doing nothing to save yourself or those around you.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's excellent advice. As we wrap up here, so you can go back to work and help more people, what is the best way to find you and the Alive program for businesses and other organizations that really want and need your services?
Well, the website's the best way to find all the information. Contact us through, you know, contact forms, see all the different things that we provide, the instructor course, the regular training, the module B, the book, whatever. Is the website is activeshootersurvivaltraining.com. Very simple, activeshootersurvivaltraining.com. You can go to the online course from there. You can go anywhere. You can contact me directly. Everything you need is at the website.
Perfect. Michael, it's a joy to talk to you. Really and sincerely appreciate what you're doing and what you're teaching out there. And most importantly, thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk to us today.
My pleasure, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Our pleasure. And thank you to all of you who have either watched or listened to this episode of Public Safety Talk Radio. And we'll be back with you next week with another great guest.
Public Safety Talk Radio is produced by the POCUA. The POCUA is a consortium of financial institutions serving law enforcement as well as other first responders and public safety professionals. To learn more about our association and to find one of our credit unions or service providers near you, go to www.policecreditunions.com. And always remember, if you aren't working with one of our POCUA credit unions, you're just banking with an institution that just so happens to serve first responders. As a public safety professional, you and your family deserve better. Find a POCUA credit union today.